Hey, welcome back. Chatting again with Reverend Irwin Lutzer. Reverend Lutzer, your book is perhaps the most important book, as I sit at the end of my last segment, that I have read within the last couple of years. It's an incredible book. Let's continue talking about it.
Yeah, you know, and as I mentioned in the first segment, I show how cultural Marxism is changing America. I'd like to talk about the chapter that I wrote in the book on the topic of propaganda.
Yes, sir.
I mentioned earlier that the purpose of propaganda is to so shape people's view of reality that even when confronted with a mountain of evidence, they will not change their minds.
Right.
So the question is, how do they do this? First of all, propagandists always need an enemy. And if you don't have an enemy, you make them up, because what you need is somebody to oppose, somebody whom you hate, somebody whom you can exploit. So having done that, and certainly, you know, I wrote a book on Hitler. It's entitled Hitler's Cross. Mm-hmm. Certainly, Hitler knew how to do this, because what he talked about is the need for hatred. He says mere dislike is not enough. But here's the other thing. This is so critical for your audience to understand. The cancel culture has been used in Russia and also in Germany. Here's what happens. In Russia, it was perfected. It was called cultural demonization.
Yes, sir.
In other words, if there was a dissident and Russia said, you know, there's a dissident here, everybody agreed. They wrote letters condemning the dissident, even if they didn't know who he was. In Nazi Germany, churches put up swastikas on their doors saying, when you come for the Christians, don't come for us because we are on your side. Now you look at what is happening in America, where somebody is deplatformed and you have big tech and big government in cahoots with one another, working towards one another, censoring ideas that they don't like and trying to control the culture. The other thing that Hitler did, and he did very effectively, is he would use language to clothe evil. For example, when he starved children, he called it putting them on a low-calorie diet. When he talked about killing the Jews, he spoke about the cleansing of the land. So in the very same way today, words are being cut off from their meanings. And George Orwell certainly pointed this out.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, even this idea of pronouns, where you don't know whether this person wants to be called thee or him or her or they or whatever, all that also intimidates us. And that's why I wrote the book that we are discussing, We Will Not Be Silenced, because I think it's very important for us to stand up against this and to take the consequences. The fact is, we are at a period of history where we cannot simply retreat into silence. I make the statement that students in our universities today, many of them will not be talked out of their faith, but they will be mocked out of their faith. So it is very critical that parents know how to instruct their young people. We need to prepare them for this culture which is collapsing around us.
Right.
And so what you have today is a lot of propaganda. I consider it as cultural streams, and those streams are so powerful that if you in any way speak against them, you can be in trouble. But here's the point. We have to be willing to do that and to take the consequences. And then, Al, you know, in the book, I also talk about the sexualization of children. I speak about socialism. Can I say a word about socialism?
You know what? You can say more than a word. We have close to 5 minutes left, Irwin.
Okay.
I have no intention of stopping you.
All right. You know, socialism. I point out that socialism is very attractive because we all want free college. We want free health care, free this and free that. But have you ever noticed that socialists always talk about how to divide the wealth? They never talk about how to create wealth.
Right.
Because socialism cannot create wealth. The only way wealth is created is for the government to print money. I've been in socialistic countries, even in the 1980s, Russia and so forth, and, you know, you would have a million marks might buy you an ice cream cone and so forth. So what happens is the government prints money, and that's exactly, of course, what is happening today, because there's no way for you to be able to create wealth because it stifles creativity. Well, let me put it this way. When we were in Russia in about the mid-80s, what we found was that there were doctors in the hospital, and they were being paid essentially the same wage as other people who worked in the hospital. Is it any wonder that there was a shortage of doctors? People have to understand that in a socialistic society, your money does not belong to you. It belongs to the state, and the state determines how to give it out so that there is income equality. Well, what happens, of course, is it institutionalizes greed, and it causes a whole bunch of problems, and people are stifled, and they take advantage of the system. Since you mentioned that you have Jewish friends that are listening, there is a kibbutz in Israel that thought, we're going to run this kibbutz on the basis of socialism. So they had everybody gets paid the same, everybody gets fed in the same dining room. People so misused it, there were those who slept in the morning, they didn't do any work, but they got paid the same. They brought their dogs to the tables, because after all, you know, everything is free. They kept the lights on when they didn't need it, and they had to give up the experiment because they said it became a paradise for parasites.
Right.
And that's what socialism does. I think it's Churchill. I hope I can quote him accurately here. He said, the great vice of capitalism is the unequal distribution of blessings. But the great benefit of socialism is the equal distribution of misery.
Right.
So as we think about socialism, we have to understand that we are being sold here a bill of goods.
Of course
it seems attractive, but of course the way it's brought about is that the government prints money, and that of course leads to inflation, and all that you can do after that is print more money. So it's very important that people understand that, and that we stand against the socialistic ideas here in America and what is happening right now in our government.
You know, I want to say one thing. You got a bit more time, if you don't mind taking some more time. Say whatever you want. You got one more minute, Reverend, and I'd like you to wrap it up, and then I have something I want to say.
I would simply wrap it up this way. In the book, We Will Not Be Silenced, I talk about all these things. I also talk about the response of the church, that we have to be willing to be obedient and take the consequences. In America, we've always lived with the idea that we were going to have freedom, and I show how those freedoms today are being compromised,
yes, in sir.
Both legally as well as culturally. We've always had freedom, and we've always thought to ourselves, it's going to be this way. Well, it's no longer this way, and what we need to do is to take the consequences. Solzhenitsyn told his people, don't live by lies. So don't be intimidated by the culture. Stand against it. If you get canceled, consider that a badge of honor. We cannot go along with what is happening. We must push back, and as we do, others will see our example.
It's absolutely imperative that we push back. Throw out some of the daily editorials that I've done recently, because I don't think a lot of you understand what I'm trying to say. If you listen to the editorial I did on Wednesday, you know that I'm very conservative. My liberal friends know that I'm very conservative. I'm sure that Reverend Erwin Lutzer knows that I'm conservative. I basically just want to wrap this up by saying one thing. You have to read the book, We Will Not Be Silenced. It makes all the sense in the world. Back next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.